Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning. The show can be contained.
Welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show component, your one-hour inspirational programming. I'm your host for the evening. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 90 minutes. Thank you so very much for taking time out to join us tonight. We're in a different studio this evening, so you might hear a little echo in the backdrop, but we're going to certainly do the best we can to minimize the sound effect that may come across. All right, before I go any further, we've got a big show planned for you tonight. It's a heavy topic. It's one that's near and dear to my heart, and I certainly hope that you all get something from it tonight. Let me go ahead and bring in Lady C, who's joining us tonight. She's so faithful to this broadcast. I am so glad that she is my co-host. Lady C, welcome to tonight's broadcast. I do appreciate you, and I want you to know that.
Thank you, and I am happy to be here. You know, I love that I am dedicated to the show because I love the show 100%. You know, it gives me lots of knowledge. It gives me education. It helps me, you know, whenever I'm having a problem, it helps me know how to solve those problems because listening to, you know, you guys' opinions helps me with my life and the drama that I go through.
All right. Excellent. And, you know, Lady C, I can honestly say, you know, I can concur with that. I can relate to that certainly because it has helped me for the past 12 years. I mean, I have several credentials, but I'm telling you, I think I've gotten more from these shows of being on here than all my 25 years of school that I've been in. I've gotten more from being on these shows. I mean, there was a time when we were doing 104 shows a year. And I'm just really, really growing and learning so much on this show. And I can certainly concur with you. And thank you for that. Tonight we're going to be talking about, I mean, this is a tough one. And we would love to hear from all of you all. And that one is, tonight we're talking about, should you allow just anyone, should you just allow anyone to pray or lay hands on you? And before we get heavily into it, and we're going to look at several scenarios, I want you all to think about that. And we're going to pray that you will be with us tonight in this show and be a blessing to us, Lord, and help us all to get something from this, something that perhaps we never even thought about, that could prove beneficial to all of us. These are the blessings we thank in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. So I want to give this disclaimer, though. I do want to give this disclaimer that the opinions that are expressed on this show or any of my shows are merely those of myself, my own opinion, my callers, my co-hosts, my various co-hosts, and we do not necessarily endorse any opinions. It's just like we're all giving just our own personal opinion. And so we're not giving out legal advice, medical advice, psychological advice, none of that stuff. If you're looking for that specific advice, we're going to encourage you to reach out to the appropriate professional in that particular field. The information that's presented over these airways are for educational and informational purposes and should be perceived as such. All right, having said that, before I get into my first scenario, I just want to throw this out there and ask this question. Lady C, should you, let's dissect these. When we talk about should you allow anyone to pray or lay hands on you, what comes to your mind when you first hear this topic?
I'm going to say no. It comes to spirits, different spirits, you know. I don't know what type of spirit someone has in them. And for them to lay their hands on me and pray over me, that's a lot of false prophets out there. That's a lot of fake preachers and different things. You lay your hand on me, you might have a demon spirit in you, and it might enter into me.
Right, right. I understand. So, but what comes to, so in other words, are you telling me that when you hear this topic?
Wait, I can't hear you.
When you hear this topic, should you allow someone to pray for you? Let's just start with that one first. Should you allow someone to pray for you? How about that?
Yeah, I would agree that you should allow someone to pray for you. If you need prayer, yes. Well, the Bible said, when two or three are together, I am here with you. So the Bible, you know, God is there with you when you're praying.
But that scripture is not referencing if you let somebody pray for you. He says, where there are two or three gathered, you know, I'm there in the midst of you all. So, but it's not saying that if you got two or three there in that particular scripture, you know, to let them pray for you. So, I mean, this becomes very deep. So you're saying then that you should allow someone to pray for you. That's okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it's okay to have somebody pray for you. What if they're not, I mean, what if they have this certain kind of spirit in them?
That's what I'm saying. That brought me back to what I was saying. It's okay to have someone pray for you, but you can't have everybody pray for you. You know, you got to learn how to discern certain spirits. You know, if somebody's spirit is not right, don't let them pray over you. Don't let them pray over you at all. Don't let them touch your head. Don't let them touch anywhere on your body. You got to learn how they're going to pray. Let them pray from a distance.
All right. We're gonna go to the phone line at this moment, and we're going to let's bring in, before we bring in Benny from the block. Let's go to the phone lines. We're gonna go to 480-923, and who do we have with? Welcome.
This is Suzanne. Hello.
Suzanne, thank you for joining us. Suzanne, when you hear this topic, should you allow just anyone? We're talking just anyone to pray or lay hands on you, even if that includes you're supposedly man or woman of God.
No, because it doesn't mean that their spirit is right. And there's so many preachers or so-called preachers are out there playing God. They're not for real.
All right. Well, that can be with anybody. Let me go ahead and bring in Benny from the block. I mean, Sir Benny tonight. Sir Benny, welcome to the broadcast. It's always an honor and pleasure to have you on board with us. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, and thank you all for having me. And so we're in a topic that is very near and dear to my heart, so I am excited to give you my opinions and some things and maybe some insight to what it means to lay hands on people.
Right, and this is a very deep one tonight. This is so deep that we got a lot to cover tonight. And, you know, we want to hear from you all out there. Press 1 on your dial. And I'm hoping, Sir Benny, I am certainly hoping to get a lot from this broadcast tonight. And over the 12 years, I was telling Lady C earlier, for those of you all who may just be joining us, that in all of my credentialing that I've received, I think I've gotten more of an education from being on this broadcast over the last 12 years than all of that education combined. Because you have so many varied opinions on here, and it's like, whoa! I didn't think about that. I didn't think about this. Let me go and check that out for myself. Whether it's a spiritual show, whether it's a relationship show, just listening to people I mean, that's important. And Sir Benny, before we get heavily into tonight's topic, why, in your opinion, do you think sometimes when we communicate with people, it's even sometimes can be as good as being in the classroom, in your opinion?
Well, the information that we're sharing about these and other topics, this is an open communication, and we as humans, all human beings, we are desperately seeking information. But more importantly, we are definitely seeking knowledge. The word tells us that we are forever learning. We are always in a learning mode. Every morning we wake up with the expectation that we're going to learn something that we didn't learn the day before. So your show, of course, opens the avenue for us to go into some deep thinking about what we already know. A lot of folks are not really familiar with some of this, but hopefully tonight they have a little bit of a better understanding. And it's not a spooky thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just a Holy Spirit thing. So we're going to get into that.
All right. Excellent. We're going to come right to you in a moment. Let me just find out who do we have, some of the people that we have on the line. We'll call your first six numbers and just tell us who you are, 786-255. Welcome to the broadcast tonight. Who do we have joining us?
Hi, how are you, Dr. Jesse? My name is Linda Harris. I'm in Jacksonville, Florida, and I was invited by Dee from England.
Oh, very good, very good. From Dee from England, you said. Or
I was
Englewood.
Invited by Dee Dee from Inverness, Florida.
Okay,
my name
very
is Linda.
Good. We're so happy. And give us your name again.
My name is Linda Harris. I live in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay. Yes, yes, we got you. Thank you so much for joining us. Let me ask you the topic tonight. Should you allow just anyone to pray or lay hands on you? Should you?
That depends on the situation and the person. You don't let everybody lay hands on you and pray
right.
over you. You can pray yourself. But
right.
I would be cautious of who I let lay hands on me and pray. I have
all
to
right.
feel
say you're,
the spirit.
Say you're at your church. You know, you're at your church or you're at a visiting church. And the minister, whether male or the female minister, was up there and they gave a powerful sermon. Say, I'm gonna come down, and today was a day of healing, and I'm gonna ask all of you all if you want me to just lay hands on you, that no matter what you're dealing with today, we have faith that God is going to take care of your situation. Come down here and get some of this anointing oil. I'm going to come by and just rub your head. Linda, do you go down? You know that you got some stressors going on in your life. And you know you got some situations. And you're like, you felt moved by the Spirit. Linda, do you go down there and let them
yes.
lay down? You don't even know this pastor.
But the word that he brought, you said it was a moving experience. I felt the Spirit and I needed
yes.
it. I needed that prayer and that sermon, and yes, and he anointed me, I would do it if I felt like it's a feeling that you have. You'll know.
Okay,
it's
okay, so it's a feeling.
Not okay.
That's a key word
yeah.
there. I like what you said. It's a feeling. Because, see, Linda, even though I'm a licensed minister, I can still, even from psychology, and I don't even need that, just from being an inspirational speaker, we could be at a center. And some people are gifted, you know, and some people have called themselves to things, and we're going to get into this with Sir Benny in a minute, but they can give an inspirational moving speech and almost know, because there are certain components of life that affects all of us. And I can give you some of those pointers out here that I know one of these areas every human being is affected by. So I can know that. If my audience has come there, I know my audience well enough that I know these several components that will affect every aspect of our lives in one way or another. So I give this moving message now to get you all out of the seat, to come down there and give $1,000. Plant that seed of $1,000, and I can assure you in 7 days, you're going to see changes coming in your life. Linda, I mean, I can give that powerful speech. And I know you heard me say $1,000, and you're not even thinking, you know, it's like $1,000 man must be out of his mind. But don't you think, Linda, that even if it's not you, some people will be moved to go down there?
Yeah, of course. I mean, again, you're going down there because you need the prayer, you need the anointing, and your faith. See, you're giving the money to not just the man of God, but you're giving it to the faith, your faith, the church. And the money will be used, hopefully, the money will be used to bless others. As a steward on this earth, we hopefully help and bless others. Yeah, that's a faith thing.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Sir Benny, I know you're ready to chime in here. Sir Benny, I want you to take your pastoral hat off for a moment and say you've got all these. I know how to come at you. Okay, take your pastoral hat off for a moment. All right? I've got a live audience here tonight, and they're laughing at you, brother. They're laughing at us. So take your pastoral hat off, and I'm saying you're depressed. And we're going to – this is just a hypothetical, of course. Your wife has taken all 14 of your children away from you, and she's filing for child support because she thought that you were cheating with another woman. And you're a rich man, and now you got to pay. You got to give her more than 90% of your wealth. And now you come to this message, and I'm talking. And this will happen. I hear a lot of noise in the background, you all. This studio is picking up everything, please. So what happens is now I know who's in the audience. Sir Benny's in the audience. Somebody comes and whispers because we know you're rich. And so I say, I got to change my sermon tonight. I got to get some of this money from this guy. So now I give that message. And it's so moving, say, no matter what you're going through, you're not going through that. You're growing through that because God has something for you. And you just don't realize that. You may have heard some news today, and, you know, rumors are out that you're going through something. And I say, if you come down here and you lay this 10, you pledge, some of you all can pledge $1,000. But we got somebody in here that the Spirit will move to pledge $10,000 to $50,000. You know how it goes, Sir Benny. You know how it goes. Sir Benny, with your pastoral house hat off, how might that affect you, and if not you, somebody else?
Well, you know, a lot of times people are emotionally charged, and so when things are bad, we're always looking for an easy out. And something that easy out comes in sheep's clothing, it comes in wolf clothing, it comes in just snake clothing, it comes in all kinds of forms. And so a lot of times we have to have a discerning spirit about what we're hearing. It's just like anything else. I'm also in television. We do things in the commercial area that is subliminal to your mind. There are certain things in your mind that everybody's on here, there are certain things in your mind that the moment you hear, you know exactly what it means. You know, if I say, have it your way right away, most people know exactly what that means. If I say, Piquero Taco Bell, most people know exactly what that means.
Right.
Because there's a discerning message that's being delivered to you subliminally that most of us don't even realize that that's occurring. And the same thing can happen with this pastor. He's giving you a subliminal message. And although it may be, in some of our opinions, it may seem a little kind of, fishy, the fact is that even in mess, God can use it to bless us.
Okay. All right. Now, putting your pastoral hat on, Sir Benny, let me ask you, when it comes to tonight's topic, should you allow just, that's a key word there, should you allow just anyone to pray or lay hands on you? And we heard what Linda said earlier, you know, I mean, in that powerful message that was moving, and it was a feeling. Talk to us, Sir Benny.
You have to be very careful who you allow to lay hands on you. And I'm talking from personal experience. Laying hands on people is much, much, much more powerful then people really realize what's going on. Sometimes when you're laying hands on people, there is a transference, and I'm going to say it again, there is a transference of what is happening to the person onto the person that's laying hands. And if you are not ready for that, and if you're not spiritually prayed up, if you've not been fasting, if you have not gone to a place to get other people to pray for you before you go into a battle with some things on here, you could be setting yourself up for a very, very, very devastating experience. And it's not something that you should take lightly. It's not something that people should go into lightly, because these things have manifestations that are extremely powerful. And so if you remember the story when the two disciples were trying to heal a little boy that was sick and dying, and they couldn't do it, and Jesus came and said, don't y'all understand what it takes to do this? Because you got to get this, because I'm going to get up out of here. And if you don't get this now, guess what? When I'm gone, you're not going to be able to get it. So you got to get it now. And so if it was that detrimental to Jesus when he was here that we get it right every time, then those same principles still apply today. So you do not want people who are laying hands on you or even speaking into your life. You want to be sure that the people laying hands on you and the people touching you are from a divine intervention that's interceding on your behalf. And you have to know that. You have to be able to experience that, and you got to know that they were sent by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, I'm going to come back to you in just a moment, and there are going to be two questions that I'm asking. One is, how do you know, just so give you a heads up, how do you know if that's the person that you want to pray for you? How do you know? And then the other question that's going to be a follow-up is going to be basically, what if you're caught off guard? How do you tell them no? Okay, so the first one would be how to know, and then secondly is how to refuse, you know, without being offensive, you know, refuse without being offensive. So I want you to think about that, but we're going to move on right now. Lady C, let me bring you in here and ask, I mean, as I'm thinking about what Sir Benny is saying tonight, and this has also happened to me in real life, you know, growing up, and I can remember this, people come and they put their hands on you and saying, I'm praying for you. And I mean, and it made me feel uncomfortable with them praying. And it's like something about their spirit. And, you know, and I recall this even as a little boy, you know, 9 years of age, and because I was in a car accident, and I could feel, and they say there's an innocence about children oftentimes. There's an innocence. There's a purity about children. And we can pick up on even spirits. And let me tell you something. Sometimes it wasn't the most pleasant spirit. But my mom didn't know, and she just let people, you know, oh, my child is, you know, he could be dying. Let me have somebody pray for him. But I remember distinctively those things. So, Lady C, you know, how, if you have children, how could someone protect their children when they're not feeling comfortable about somebody praying for their child or children?
To be honest with you, I don't even have an answer to that question. All I could do is say, you know, pray to God. Because my only reason I don't have an answer, because every church I go to, my kids are in another area than I am in.
Wow. Okay. So you don't even know all the time what's going on with your children, right? Okay.
No.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to phone lines once again. Let's go to 770-703. Welcome to tonight's podcast. Who do we have?
Hi, Dr. Walker and everyone. This is Jeanette.
Jeanette, thank you for joining us. Jeanette, can you just lay out? Jeanette, you sound, your voice, Jeanette, sounds like you could be a lady of means. So having said that, Jeanette, you know, can I give any powerful message that could just have you plant a seed of $10,000 and tell you that you're likely to be blessed? if you let me lay my hands on you, I'll pray for you.
Now, what Benny said was deep, and I always have been leery of people laying hands on me. I've never done that. And what he said was very, very informative to me. And the answer to your question is no. You will not lay your hands, and I will not be giving you money.
So you're just going to say this, and it don't matter. It don't matter if it hurts my feelings or not.
You know, feeling ain't got nothing to do with it. I got to live and survive, so I'm not just going to give money to you because you asked me and you think you know what I need or you say you think you know. You know,
but
I don't know whether you're a true prophet or not, so I don't fall into that kind of stuff.
How would you know? And that's what we're going to come
that's
back
it.
To Sir Benny in a minute. How would you know?
I really don't know, but whatever spirit would hit me on my right mind, common sense, dear Lord, didn't put it in me to even want to give it to you. So I was praying on it, too, just like he was praying on me, praying whether I should do it.
Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. I'm so sorry. You know, some things just make you really laugh here. But we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by, Jeanette. Let's go to the phone line, Funky, 407-862. 407-862. Who do we have and welcome?
This is Sister Marva. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Dr.
Jesse. Good evening, Sister Marva. Thank you for joining us. Sister Marva, I got to ask you this question. Sister Marva, if you're invited to a church because one of your friends saw that you were depressed, this is another hypothetical now. Of course, it's not real. But say, you know, a friend of yours' child is really sick. And they say, listen, you got to go hear this woman or this man of God tonight. And they can, listen, I've heard people that, they don't tell you that the pastor says, come and lay out $2,000, you know, for your miracle. But when you get there, I mean, you're so depressed and you're so worried about your friend's child that you want to go and pray. And these people are getting up and they're testifying, saying, listen, I done seen that child was dead. And they were dead for 15 minutes and they came back to life. And I'm telling you, I've heard stories like that, the people say, right? And you hear that. And then, Sister Marva, in your honest opinion, in all honesty, if he says, listen, I can assure you all tonight, those of you all, God is going to hold you accountable. That when you know you got the means, you got $10,000 sitting in your bank, and all the Lord is asking you for is $2,000. And then say, but would you be willing to give all you have, like the widow who gave all she had to the prophet? And then her cup, that basin was running over. Sister Marva, how can you not be moved by that? You know, by that prayer. That's for you.
I'll be moved, but I will not give my money like that.
Because, Mom, you wouldn't plant that $2,000 seed?
No. No, because
wow.
The Lord, I don't remember anywhere in the Bible where it says that you need to give money for the Lord to do a miracle for you. That sounds very, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, it sounds very Catholic. Because they pay money to so they don't go to hell, you know, or purgatory, whatever.
There's Malachi 3:8. Are you familiar with verses Malachi 3:8? Malachi 3:8? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. And you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithe and in offering. You are cursed with a curse. You've heard of Malachi 3:8, right? That's in the Bible.
Oh, yes, of course.
But he says, if you're faithful, I will open up the windows of heaven. This is what the Bible says. And pour ye out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So what about that scripture?
Well, I'm thinking that it means in church. not necessarily somebody else's church, somebody that I don't know. The only thing that I could add to that is once you let that money go, you bless that money and the Lord will see what you've done and know what's in your heart, and he'll bless you just because you did that. So let's say they're going to use the money to buy their Lamborghini or whatever. That's not your business. The thing is that you gave to God and expect a blessing from him. That's my thought.
Sister Mar, we're going to ask you to stand by for a moment. I want to bring Sir Benny back in, and I want to go to those two questions that I had of him, and he can certainly contribute to anything else that he'd like to. And first question, Sir Benny, how to know that that is a man or woman of God? How do you know? I know the Bible kind of references that by their spirit, but how do you know?
Well, before I dive into that question, let me just share this with you, with the previous caller. When it comes to money and the church and God, make sure you understand something very important. Nothing that we have belongs to us. It all belongs to God. So we take ownership of stuff that belongs to him. Don't worry about what you do with the ownership of what he has. Just be obedient to what he's told you. If he says give 10%, give the 10%. If he tells you to give 20%, give the 20%. Nothing belongs to you. God gives us the ability to go out and earn money to be able to. God don't need our money. He doesn't need it. He owns everything. So don't take it as it's my money, I'm giving it to the church. No.
Right.
All you're doing is being obedient in what God has already told you to do. So let's go back to the question we have.
And just before, if you want to touch on that also, Sir Benny, and that is he expects us to be faithful what? Steward. Speak to him about that. Faithful steward. That's all it is, to manage what he's given you.
It's just like, let me break it down to you simply. If you work on a job, okay, if they can't trust you to do a simple job, whatever that job may be, sweeping the floor, wiping down things, how are they going to give you the management position to look over everybody else when you can't do the basics? God wants to make sure you can do the basics first so he can bless you with greater and more each time that you keep improving to him how much obedience you have for what he's asked you to do. So if we're faithful stewards, I like being a faithful steward, I understand that my obedience, my consistency in my obedience is to God. When God looks down at us, he says, oh, I know I can trust him. Do you know why God allowed that Satan to mess with Job? Because he knew Job. He knew Job was going to be able to withstand and stand whatever things that were coming at him. We should have a Job-like experience on a regular basis. No matter what, I'm going to do what was told to be due. I don't worry about what the pastor's doing. See, that's stuff we get into. That's carnal stuff. We're worrying about the pastor and whether he buys Lamborghini or a plane. I don't know what his desires and his blessings are. I don't know what the relationship that God has with him. That's not for us to say. If you look back in the Bible and read, many of the people in the Bible were truly highly blessed who were men of God. They had all kinds of stuff, and they used other people to bless those people because they were good stewards. We forget about that. Y'all forget when the disciples were sent into the ocean to deep waters and threw out the net, and God gave more in abundance of fish. They had to go get other people to come help and get the fish out. God blesses those that he could trust. And we have to remember that. Don't get caught up in what we see, what we think, and what we know. If a man needs a plane to get from here to there to go worship and do the things he needs to do, by all means, get the plane. God told Jonah to go down to Nineveh. Nineveh, hey, I need you to go over there and do what I'm telling you to do. Jonah said, no, I'm going to go down to somewhere else. I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yeah,
God had to send God had to send a whale to let him sit there and stew on what he had told him to do. So in either case, we got to remember that the blessings that God says bring to the storehouse, that they may be distributed, that you may have meat to eat, that's for all of us. Now, if they're not doing right, don't worry about that, because they got their own judgment day. You don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Just be obedient to what he told you to do. Now,
and just before you respond to those other two questions, I want to touch on what you're saying. I have seen God with Malachi 3:8. That scripture is one of the most powerful scriptures out there. And it, you know, sometimes you wonder, why isn't this happening for me, Lord? Why isn't this happening for me, Lord? I mean, God blesses us anyway. But let me tell you something. I have seen, and he asked the question specifically, will a man rob God? And just like what Sir Benny is talking about tonight, God just wants us to be a faithful steward. It's in our obedience. You know, I mean, are you giving anything to the poor? Are you giving anything to the church? Are you bringing your anything into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house? And he goes on to say, and prove me now. That's what he's saying. He said, don't prove me later. He says, prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, and I will open up the windows. I'm telling you, I have seen this in my own life. So, you know, even if you're asking to plant a seed, you know, I mean, and if God is impressed upon you, let that be between you and God. And I have planted seeds, and I have believed, and I have seen miracles. Now, we're not asking you all for money on this show, of course, but I'm just saying I have seen this happen with my own eyes. So, Sir Benny, let's get to it where we're saying, I mean, we do ask for your subscriptions, and that's, you know, we talked about that before. That's only like $2.50 a week to get a subscription for our Thursday night show that keeps us going here. But that's we're not asking you all for like those, that type of seed. So, Sir Benny, how do you know if that's the man or woman of God that supposedly wants you to come up there and get that oil on your head?
Well, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this in openness and transparency. God can use anybody to bless you.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. God
Amen.
Can use anybody to bless you.
Sure can.
So I think of the little girl that told Naaman to dip 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
A little girl told a king that he had to dip in the muddy, nasty Jordan 7 times. That little girl saved a king's life. But the king had to be obedient to the words
mm-hmm.
that was being delivered through that little girl. So there is no 100% proof of anything. That would be dishonest of me to ever say that. You have to have a sense of the Holy Spirit about you, because the Holy Spirit talks to us, he leads us, he convicts us. The Holy Spirit tells you who is and who isn't. We see the little commercials on TV where you got an angel on one side of your shoulder and a devil on the other side.
Okay. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, and he's talking to you. He's communicating with you all the time in your day-to-day walk. How many of us have had an experience where you was going down a road and something told you, don't go that way, go left, and you're obedient and you went left? You didn't even understand what it was and why I was doing it, but, okay, I'm going to do that. Or you were somewhere and something told you, ooh, it's time to go, and you left, and then you go back home and find out something bad happened later on because you were obedient. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
He's directing your path.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when you have people come up on you, ladies and gentlemen, both, they always say ladies have it, but we have something that they call intuition. That intuition is operating all the time. Just like your heart
mm-hmm.
don't stop beating, your blood don't stop popping, that Holy Spirit is operating all the time in you, which is your intuition, because he's talking to you. So when we come across people where our intuition, all of a sudden the antennas go, that means uh-oh, warning. The same intuition will bring you next to somebody, and it don't matter what they're saying. If you have a peace about it, if you have just an overwhelming peace talking to you and you don't feel some kind of way, that's one of the ways that the Holy Spirit is telling you, this is somebody that I brought to you that's going to bless you in your situation. So you have to be discerning. You have to have that discerning spirit. See, don't put everything on everybody else. Look at your own self and say, do I have a discerning spirit? Am I in contact with the one that made me, that knows me about everything about me? You have to get to a place where you know who you are And so when people come into your lives, your discerning spirit is going to let you know who those people are. Are they here to help me? Are they here to hurt me? Are they here to love me? Are they here to leave me? Those are very important, knowledgeable things to have about who you are and what's operating in you. So if you have that operating correctly, if it's operating correctly, when somebody comes to you and says, Lois, I need to put hands on you because of X, Y, and Z, you are not even bothered by it. You are like, in the name of Jesus, I receive that because you understand where it came from. So that's one of the ways that you can learn how to receive discerning spirit. Now, remember, that Satan is a deceiver too. He's a great deceiver. So when demons and Satan comes to you to do stuff, just watch how your body and your spirit starts to move and just not be uncomfortable. And then here's something else. When you got to start explaining stuff to people that should not even ask you a question, let me tell you something right now. Y'all got to remember this. I don't need to know what your business is to bless you or put hands on you or to pray for you. I don't need to know. I just need to know that I was directed to pray for you. I was directed to lay hands on you. I was directed to speak into your life. I don't need to know your situation. But when the spirits and the evil ones come, they got to ask you 1,000 questions about, well, how you got that and where you got that from and how did that and who gave that to you and why are you struggling with that? They got to ask you 1,000 questions. When you find people asking you too many questions, step away as quickly as possible and tell them, hey, I think you need to go kick rocks, brother, because you got to know what it is. You got to call it by its name. Don't play around with stuff. Don't play around with people playing with you, trying to come and put hands on you and pray over you. You got to call it what it is. Not today. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you're trying to do. I don't care what you're trying to prophesy. Not today. Get behind me and let me get on down the road because my journey is taking me somewhere else. So
amen. And so, you know, I want to add to that also by saying, you know, Enoch, many of you all, I know you've heard of Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Enoch never died. God took him. Enoch walked with God. And see, when you're having a, and I want to believe, you know, and even in my imperfection, I try my best to walk with God. Maybe I can try harder. But I try to walk with God, and when I'm doing that, it's like there's an anointingness that comes over you, that comes over you. And let me tell you something. When people when their spirits are cantankerous, I can tell that right away. I can even know where there's about to be a conflict that can take place if I just go up to this counter or if I go into this building. It's almost like you get like Sir Ben was talking about, the Holy Spirit is talking and communicating with us all throughout. It is so true. If we just listen and heed the voice, it's there. Just, it's the oxygen, the air we breathe. It's going, our hearts start to, there's something that comes over us. That comes over us. And I've experienced this even when there is something. It could be even like I was about to pick up the prettiest snake I had ever seen. And I remember when my kids were small, and I thought that was a toy that they left outside. At that time, I was hanging out some clothes. And this snake, this object on the ground, it was black and orange, very pretty. And snakes are very deceitful. They are very treacherous. They are very, I mean, they're conniving. They will beguile you if you allow them to, okay? And so I went down as I was about to go in the house, and I reached down, and the spirit said, don't touch it. Just like that, don't touch it. And I got within maybe 4 inches of touching it. It was so still. The snake knew that I was there. And when I got down there to pick it up, I mean, the prettiest snake you'd ever seen, but I didn't know it was a snake. I just thought it was one of their toys that I hadn't seen. And when the spirit said, don't touch it, see, everything is in the obedience. And when I stood back up, that thing moved. And I said, oh, God, thank you. Because I later found out that the prettier the snakes, the more deadly. I mean, that snake could have bitten me easily. But it was, so I'm telling you, when you're walking with God, you will know those spirits. Let me go ahead and bring in, let me go to the phone lines once again. Let's go to 561-396. Thank you for your patience. Who do we have with us?
Good night, Dr. Jesse. This is Beverly Ashman.
Beverly Ashman, thank you for joining us. Beverly, I mean, should you just allow anybody to pray or lay their hands on you?
Well, like the other brother was saying, that, you know, you have a discerning spirit, and, you know, you could tell pretty much when somebody, you know, is going to touch you. You will feel that, like, okay, maybe I should shy away from this person. But, you know, in the Bible, there's, like, I think 24 verses about laying hands on people.
Right.
It's in the Bible, you know,
mm-hmm.
and if it's in the Bible, we just have to trust God. Every time we go to church, if somebody have to lay their hands on us, that, you know, the Spirit of God is upon them in the right way for us that day.
Okay.
I don't try to keep it negative when I go to church. When I go to church and, you know, they call up for people for prayer and we go up and it doesn't matter if somebody touched me. And, you know, I believe that once they touch me, you know, if it's not for good, the Lord is going to just banish that.
All right. So,
now it's happening in our church all the time, laying on hands and praying for one another.
Right. All right. Now, watch this here. Now, we're gonna take a look at several of the scenarios out here. We're going to probably look at about 10 or 11, maybe 12 scenarios that are out here. And I want you all to really, all of us, to think, because these are some things that I never thought about. And that, to me, is what I get from this show. And it's not just me trying to be the guy with all the answers. I think as all of us contribute, and many of you all out there, somebody needs to hear your thoughts, because you may have the very thing that somebody needs to hear at some point and say, you know, I never thought about that. Case in point, here we're talking about, should you just allow anyone to pray or lay hands on you? Here's a female says in our first scenario, I personally don't think you should allow just anyone to pray or lay hands on you, because you don't know what kind of spirit they may have on them. And we've talked about that. We've talked about that. What kind of spirit does this person have? But can you rebuke that spirit? And I mean, I have learned how to be mindful. You know, somebody says, well, let me do this here for you. And it's like, no, but you know what? Praise you in the name of the Father. You know, you got to be able to say certain things. In the name of the Father, I rebuke this. You know? And if somebody like a teacher might tell a child, you ain't going to never be nothing. That's what they told me too. You ain't going to grow up to be nothing because I was a class clown. Okay, I didn't make it on stand-up comedy, but I never really tried. I might have gotten there for 5 minutes, but the Lord had another direction for me, because you know what? When I went home and told my mother that the teacher said, I ain't going to be nothing in life, Mama, she said, we rebuke that. The devil is a liar. Sir Benny, let me bring you in. Why is that so important, in your opinion, to rebuke this stuff when people try to put that on you?
Well, because there's always, remember, there's always demons around us trying to create negative thought patterns in our mind. He started from the beginning of time with Eve. When he told Eve, oh, if you eat of this fruit, Eve, you won't surely die. He didn't say she wouldn't die. He said you won't surely die right away. That's what he was saying. So he always likes to put these deceiving thoughts in our minds. And let me share something with you. When you have to rebuke somebody, especially, and I say this because it has to come, when you're rebuking people that you have a relationship, the rebuke is not about being mean or wanting the devil, wanting God to come and kill that person. The
right,
rebuke
right.
is to edify God in that situation. When you say, I'm rebuking you, if you have a relationship with me, I'm your brother, maybe I did something wrong to you, and you say, in the name of God, I rebuke you, that rebuke is only to say, hey, God, there was something that was not done right. My brother should have known better, but he did it. So I'm rebuking him to edify you, because I want you to come in and cleanse him and correct him in his thoughts, in his ways, and his actions. Now, there are situations where, like Dr. Justice said, a teacher or somebody who's supposed to be lifting you up to mold your mind to be better and greater, they're speaking negativity into your life. And you have to rebuke that lady. What he was saying is, I'm cutting off what you just said because you planted a seed. I'm asking God to dig that seed up and throw it away. Let it fall on non-fertile ground, because you don't want somebody to plant negative seeds into your mind, into your heart, into your spirit, because those seeds are going to grow and they're going to manifest. And so she had the wherewithal to know when you said that. Thank you, Jesse, for being obedient, because the Holy Spirit told you to go home and tell your mama. You could have just kept quiet. But because you were obedient to what was told to you, when you went home and told your mom knew exactly what to do. She knew to cut that off at the beginning, cut it off, and throw it away like it never existed again. So I'm thankful for you for you being obedient to that, because they could have. Because whatever you plant, whatever negative seeds you plant, you will get a harvest. It's going to grow. What you put in your mind is negative, it's going to grow in you. That's why we should be always planting good seeds and good fertile and making our ground fertile. Because that seed, that seed gets in there, and man, it just tears up the ground. It pulls all the nutrients out of the ground. It is designed to destroy the whole process of your growth. It's designed to do that.
And, you know, this is so important what Servini is saying, because the fact of the matter is, just like these negative seeds can grow if you allow them to, it's just like your garden. When you're growing your garden and you're cultivating, you're fertilizing, you're nurturing your garden, you're going to have weeds that come in there. You got to get rid of those weeds. Those weeds are the negative things that come along. And you see, from the age of 4 and 5, that some things I can remember, my mother was always planting a seed in my mind. You're going to be a preacher. No, mama, and I didn't know the word rebuke at the time, but I was like denouncing that. I'm like, no, I don't want to be. I'm saying, no, mama, I don't want to be a preacher. Why I got to be a preacher? You got 5 other boys. Let them be a preacher. And she's like, you're going to be a preacher. And it's all I kept hearing from her over the years, and I kept saying no. I kept saying it wasn't until after my mother was killed in a car accident. It wasn't until every direction I turned of the things that I wanted, it directed me like Jonah. It was like Jonah. I was when Jonah got out of the belly of that well, he was happy to do what God told him to do. And you know what would have taken him 3 days to do it? Jonah, after he got out of that belly of the whale, it took him a day and a half to get there. And it's like because he was excited now to get there. And sure enough, as I got older and I realized it's like, and it wasn't anything that my mother's death caused that. It's just that it came to be. That seed she planted from the time I was 4 and 5 came to fruition. And it's like, I couldn't wait to become a preacher because I thought you had to be perfect, and I realized I ain't perfect, and I'm still not perfect. But God is using me, like Sir Ben said earlier. He will use anybody. Lady C, I want to bring you in, and thanks for your patience as well. Lady C, why is it to plant a seed in somebody's mind, particularly when they're young and even if they're older, why is that so important? A positive seed.
I feel like you speak life into existence when it comes to a child's mind. You know, whenever you tell a child, you're going to go to college, you're going to become something, you're going to do this and you're going to do that, that child intends on growing up thinking like, you know, I'm going to go to college. I know what I'm going to be. I know, you know, it plans that child's future. If you're constantly tearing that child down, that's a possibility that child going to turn out to be nothing in life because based on what you said.
Wow. Well, so if a mother, let's just say by example, because most kids live when there's a single parent, it's usually a mother who's raising the kid. So if the mother says to that child, her boy, you just like your no good father, you ain't going to be nothing because he ain't nothing. How damaging is that, Lady C?
Very damaging, because when that person grow up, that person is not going to know how to be a father because all they're going to think of is, I'm just like my daddy. I'm just like him. Because
my mama
mother
told
is
me
still
that.
Better than that man's mind.
Jeanette, we're going to ask you to stand by, Lady C. Jeanette, let me bring you in, and I want to ask you, in your opinion, we're talking about praying and laying hands, but all of this has to do with words. Words. Because if somebody's praying, they're using words, what's called also logos, you know, words. And if they're laying hands, they're still words or meditation. So, Jeanette, I want to ask you, how important is it to listen to the words that are being said over your life or speaking into your life?
It's very important because you want positive things, sincere and heartfelt things to be
prayed over you like that. You know, because they could be praying negative things and things that's not good and not righteous and putting you all in the mix of that. So you always want to be positive things prayed over your life, always.
You know, and so that becomes so important. Let's take a look at another scenario, and we're running out of time, you all. We got about 30 minutes before we end the show with Lady C closing us out tonight. Let's take a look at a male. He writes in, he says, a lot of people are just playing like they care and really don't care. In other words, they're just faking when they're talking about praying for you or laying hands because they have an ulterior motive. They want money. Wow. Sister Marva. Sister Marva, why is that important? Should we just give them the money? If they're asking for the $1,000 to $2,000, even if it takes all of our money from our bank account because we thought we were being obedient?
I would not, as I said before, I would not be obedient to someone that I, you know, like somebody on TV or a church that I'm visiting and they try to play on your, you know, going to heaven or hell if you don't do that. But if it was my church and I know my pastor and I know that he's, you know, sincere in what he's saying and what he's doing, I have no problem with that at all. Because
all right,
I know that I know that God is truthful about what he said. His words never change.
Sister Marva, with you saying that, and I don't mean, and I get where you're going, and sorry if I cut you off, but let me just say this here. So you know your pastor, you said. So your pastor gets up and he says, congregation, God has just impressed upon my heart, you know, that I need to be traveling around the world, spreading his message. And he's just impressed upon my heart that I need you all to dig deeper because I need a $65 million airplane. You know your pastor, Sister Marva, and he needs you, he needs every one of these members to pledge $10,000 a year. Sister Marva, and he needs you all to show that you believe in God because, you know, we can have ways of putting it out there to make you feel guilty and obligated. You know, we want you to show your faith. If you're going to pledge after this powerful message, Sister Marva, he says $10,000 a year for 10 years from every member in this church that will get me my $65 million plane for me to do the Lord's work. Sister Marva, can you stand up and pledge that, Sister Marva?
No,
would
I
would
not.
Would you be willing to because you know your pastor?
Why do you need such a big airplane, such an expensive airplane to go do the Lord's work?
Are you going to question the man of God, Sister Marva? He just told you what he needed to do the Lord's work to travel all around the world.
But he doesn't have to have that. It doesn't have to cost that much. How much? $1,000 a year for 10 years?
No, $10,000 a year for 10 years.
$10,000.
That's $100,000 per member.
Yes, right. No, I don't believe in. I don't believe that.
All right. We're going to have to stand by.
I wouldn't.
Let me go to Beverly. Beverly, let's bring you in. Beverly, you know your pastor. He's praying. He's saying, listen, and he's using the scripture. You will be blessed beyond measure because you're blessing the prophet of God. What do you think about that, Sister Beverly?
Well, if you're going to pay that much money, are you going to make any type of sacrificial offering? It shouldn't go to the pastor. It should go to the church because the Lord said so that there will be meat in his house, not for the pastor to get it to put it in his pocket. So
exactly.
That wouldn't be right.
But But his part of his salary comes from that. We're going to actually stand by Billy. Let's bring in Sir Benny. Sir Benny, you want a $65 million plane? Do you really need a $65 million plane, Sir Benny, to travel around the world?
Listen, let me just say this, and I'm not pro or for or con or whatever, but let me say this. Believers, we got to quit doing that. Quit trying to qualify your poverty-stricken mindset about what God has told somebody else to do. See, God tells people to do things. When God tells you to go and build a city or build a wall or build something, whatever God tells you to do, you're supposed to go and do it.
Right.
See, we keep looking at things from our own perspective. We have a very small way of looking at things. God is bigger than your thoughts, your opinions, your ways. Stop doing that. If you need some help in your house right now and somebody comes and says, girl, what you need? Girl, I'm $5,000 behind. And they come and bring you $100,000. You can pay off your house. Or you will ask, well, did you need to buy me $100,000? Did you need to give that much money? No. You got to say, thank you, Lord, and accept it. If somebody come and give you a car, hey, I'm giving you this car, and I want you to enjoy this car, you ain't going to say, well, you know, I don't know why. See, you didn't need to give me that kind of car. That's too much for me. No. Accept your blessing and go on.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what God put on that pastor's heart. That God might have said, listen, pastor, I got several places I need you to do in the next 5 years, and I need you to be able to go there expeditiously. I don't care about what they think or what they – I'm going to make sure you get that jet. See, we don't need our God's opinion to do what God needs to do. He's going to do it whether you agree or not. If God
right.
placed something on somebody's heart and giving them a directive, you let them go and do it. We don't get me started. We'll put some C's in our girls. You could be a doctor and you could be a lawyer. And I don't know how I'm gonna pay. I ain't got no money. I only make $15,000 a year. But oh, I'm believing God gonna find a way to give me some money. Maybe somebody gonna give me a scholarship. Maybe somebody gonna give me an extra something. Maybe some law firm that's gonna take that money and give it to you to go to your education. You can go to school. We can do that. But we can't stand by and say, maybe God gave that pastor that pastor. Maybe God gave that to him. Quit qualifying
right.
our answers. We qualify answers that we ain't got no business qualifying. If God puts something in your heart, if God comes and tells you to go start a business and doing this and this and this, you don't question that. You just go to the bank and then you sign your name on a dollar line and let them run your credit. And when they say, oh, we're going to give you all the money you need, oh, thank you, Lord. Why do we do that then? But we don't do it when
people
come and tell us, God,
right.
God put that on my heart. The word said God will give you the desires of your heart. His work must go on. His work has to go on. Listen, we got Zoom, we got telephones, we got radio shows. How do you think that stuff is happening? There are satellites up in the sky right now that's beaming messages that we could be able to talk to each other, see each other, interact with each other, text each other. How do you think that stuff got up there? Somebody needed some money somewhere. It don't matter if it's for the world, for the Christian station, for the Zoom. It don't matter. The fact is we needed some money. Somebody had a vision. God gave it to them. They developed it. And now guess what? We're on a radio show talking to each other. A whole bunch of people that we don't ever see or know, we are talking to them. Thank God
you
for that.
Me Amen. Amen. And, you know, it is so powerful because, you know, if I could relay any message, we serve a powerful God. And, you know, we got to be careful. And like what Sir Benny's saying, we got to be careful what God has placed on somebody's heart. Because, for example, I used to do my radio shows only Tuesdays and Thursdays, and it was relationship. And God said, give up one of those nights to do a spiritual show. And I'm like, God, I don't know if that's God. I don't know where that voice is. I don't know, because I didn't want to do it. I was Jonah again. And when I gave up the Tuesday night show to do Friday nights, I say, well, and I kind of was rebellious and stubborn. And I say, I'm not going to even prepare anything for that show. And let me tell you something. After 3 weeks, God has blessed this show even bigger, in some cases, than the Thursday night show, which was my favorite. It's the key is in obedience. It's in obedience. And, I mean, it's not perfect. I'm not perfect. But I try to be obedient. And that's when God has opened up that door. And it's like, you know, and I'm like, well, God, that's another show. I got to cover that. He even told me what to do with subscriptions. I will bless those that bless you. And I just say, whoa, okay, all right. God, I'm not going to be asking, begging people for stuff.
And I'm just, all I'm doing is doing it. And he's keeping us going. And this year here, this month makes 12 years that I've been on the show for relationship shows. And just last year, I just started the Friday night shows, and God is blessing it. Let me go on, and let's take a look again. Jeanette, I want to bring you in. Here's another scenario. Man writes in, he says, should you just allow anyone to pray or lay hands on you? I think as long as they are a man or woman of God, it should be okay. Jeanette, do you agree with that? As long as they're a man or woman of God? If you know them, I guess, right?
Most likely, I probably would let a man or woman of God, you know, pray over me. And in the meantime, I'd be praying and listening to what they're praying for. And if it was something that he prayed on that was negative or not good for me, I would rebuke it and
okay.
go with that. Yeah.
All right. That's the way you do that. Okay. Very good. Because I've been in prayer where went up to and people are like, this brother here, you know, they think they know me, and they're praying. And I'm like, Lord, we're going to rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I'm right out there against this prayer. You know, we're rebuking that in the name of Jesus. Because, see, if you're saying something that they're saying, and you're saying, thank you, Jesus, I accept this into my spirit, then you have accept that. It's just like when you're going to be hypnotized. It is said that you cannot be hypnotized unless you consent to give somebody your will. Your will. You know, and if I were doing a one-on-one session with some people, I could probably say some things to you if you gave indirectly and subliminally that you wouldn't even realize what you're consenting to. Because, I mean, we had to do this in certain internships. And you don't even know. Then that's why, like Sir Benny was saying earlier, when you go in the stores, when you see commercials, you know, the jingles that people are paid to produce, it all plays on our mind. It all plays on our mind. And you don't know what you're getting caught up into in that, because the mind is, you heard how they say, the mind is a powerful tool. It's so powerful. And if we have the faith with God, walking with God, and someone was talking about it earlier, you know, about money. God don't need, and Sir Ben said it earlier, God don't need our money. He's looking for our faithfulness. He's looking for our obedience. When I took my oldest son to college, it was a very expensive college, but I wanted him to go to this Christian college. I knew that I didn't, at the time, didn't have the finances what the college required. My son had a full scholarship for any Florida school under the Future Bright Scholarship. He had a full scholarship. Three of my four kids did. But I wanted them to go 1 year to this Christian college. 1 year. And I would buy them a car in the sophomore year. Well, I knew that I couldn't afford it. I got on my knees and I prayed, God, I will take him there. But I don't know how I'm going to keep him there. I don't know how I'm going to get him in. And so I got him there, and God opened up the windows of heaven. It cost me $11 to get him in. Y'all didn't hear me. It cost me $11 to get him in. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I didn't go up there with a bank account. I didn't have the money in the bank at the time. But when I got there by faith, my faith, and when I got there, it was $11. They say, all you need is $11 to get him in after we went through all of that. So listen, you know, you all, I mean, we talk about prayer and laying hands and, wow, you know what? I'm not going to start preaching tonight either. The female, she says, growing up as a child, I saw people, ladies, I want to bring you in on this one. Growing up as a child, I saw people praying and laying hands on other people. And remember, I remember my mother saying that she did not believe so much in that because if a person had a bad spirit, it could jump out on you. Lady C, do you think there's any truth to that? Well, obviously, this young lady says her mother told her. I'm not disputing that.
I do. I believe in it. That's what I stated at the beginning of the whole radio show. You can't let everybody lay their hands on you because of their spirit. What if they have a bad spirit? That bad spirit, in my opinion, can get jump in on me. But I have a question for Sir Benny. Sir Benny,
okay.
Can you buy me a house? Can you buy me a house? Because I'm looking for a house. I can't find one, and all the house prices went up. Can you buy me one? I know God said he's going to provide me with a house. Can you buy me one? You know, in this case, he might be using you to buy it for me.
So, Benny, are you there? Take your phone off mute, Sir Benny. He's deliberately on mute.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, when he comes back, we'll get him. We'll get him. Go ahead, Dave. You know,
he got the rolled eyes emojis going on right now.
Yeah, I know, right? There is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing too hard for God. You know? It's just amazing. It's amazing. We're going to keep that one in prayer. And, you know, I'm going to, we're talking about praying and laying hands. Would you want somebody to pray for you, Lady C, that God will do what he needs to do so that you can walk into your house, into your blessing?
I've had people to pray for me. I've had people to speak life over me, but it's a discerning spirit thing. If my spirit says something is not right with your spirit, I'm not going to allow you to pray for me. And I'm going to tell you the reason why I say that. Okay, I used to go to this church in North Carolina, and the pastor was just, he was just a fake pastor.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not just necessarily fake. He just really wasn't the man of God he said he claims to be. And so one day he was praying over everybody, and I just started praying in my head, and I was just telling God, if he is of you, allow him to pray for me. If he's not of you, do not allow him to touch me. You know, this man touched everybody around me and skipped over me.
Wow. Wow. That's powerful. That is powerful. That is powerful. Amen. God will get, listen, that house is not too difficult. God, there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for him. So, you know, wow, the Spirit tells me pray for you, you know, and I will be. Listen, let's take another one here. Let's go to Sister Marva. Sister Marva, we're going to give you this one. This mail says, I have heard several stories about demons being cast out of people's lives when some preachers pray and lay hands on them. I have not seen it for myself, but I've also heard these stories. Sister Marva, have you ever heard of a story where sometimes there are preachers who pray for people who have these demonic spirits? I mean, we know that Jesus moved them out, but have you heard of these stories, Sister Marva?
Absolutely. When I was a little girl, my father's first elder in the church, he's actually the pastor, because the pastor had seven churches, so daddy would have to do all the, you know, work until the pastor came around. So he was first elder and pastor. Well, this young man, he was not in the church, and they said that, just to make the story short, like the devil had taken him away. He went to a city, and he never came back home, and they went looking for him, and he was in the bushes. And they said that every time they called his name, he would like move through the air. So my father said, well, he was going to get him, and he was going to bring him home. Daddy got the elders from the church, and I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know what they did, but I know they prayed for this man. They said they held him. They called his name until they could touch him, and then they held him, and they said that there was so much strength in him, you know. But finally, they held him down and prayed over him, and the spirit left. And they brought him to church, and they baptized him. And all I remember was seeing him come to church
got married, had a family. But I didn't see the actual thing that happened, but I know of it, and it has been in my mind. It's always a wonder to me, as you know, in my mind growing up and as a becoming a Christian, I'm like, wow, that really happened. It really happened, yes.
All right, Sister Beverly, let me bring you in. Have you ever had an experience or heard of stories like that as well, where demons were removed from people's lives?
Well, yes, I have heard of stories, and it's in the Bible, and if it's in the Bible, it can happen naturally. And Jesus said, greater works than I do shall he do, because I have to go to the Father. So I believe people can cast out demons, yes.
Absolutely.
I've never witnessed it before, but I know it is possible.
Wow. You know, we serve a powerful God, you all. I mean,
yes.
Seriously powerful. We're talking about should you just allow anyone to pray or lay hands on you if you're just joining us tonight. And we're taking on some comments and people are giving their opinions and their thoughts. Let's take a look. We're going to take a different spin in a moment upcoming here with some of these scenarios. This female, she says, and we're going to direct this one to Sir Benny. If you're there, we'll bring you back in. This female says, if not, we'll go directly to Lady C. This female says, I would be careful when it comes to people praying and laying hands because even the devil knows the word of God. Sir Benny, what do you take from that? If not, let's go to
Ye of little faith, ye of little faith, ye of little faith. And so little faith can't produce great faith. It can't produce an miracle faith. When you have a little faith, guess what? You get a little blessing. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to be honest with you. Ye of little faith. If you think small, you're only going to get small things. When you think mm-hmm. bigger than big, you're going to get greater things. And Lady C, let me tell you something. Something blocked me trying to get online because he knew I had something to say. Let me say something to you, Lady C. Lady C, God said, I will give you the desires of your heart. And so if that is your desire to have a heart, have a house, and you feel like that God has told you to tell me to get it, I welcome it because God's going to give me a whole lot of everything to give you everything that you need. And I have no problem with helping you get a house. If God gives me $1 million+ tomorrow, guess what? I'm coming to you, and I'm going to say, what is your house? Because I understand where it comes from, because I have big faith. I don't have little faith. I don't have mediocre faith. I have super huge faith. So I don't believe that, hey, you want a house? $200-$300? Okay, no problem. I believe that he's going to give me more than enough to give you what you want. And Dr. Jesse, you know I know.
I know. Let me tell you all something. And see, you know, if you all don't take anything away from it tonight, Sir Ben and I know each other, and I mean we think a lot alike, you know, a lot alike. And I don't think small when it comes to God. I give God these gigantic things to bless. And it's like, well, God, you say you're God, and I put his word back to him. Well, God, you said you would give me the desire. And it's like I'm so spoiled. Sir Ben, you know what I'm saying? Don't you feel so spoiled by him? Because it's like, ain't nobody else asking for it. I'm getting ready to ask for it.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I am walking in the fullness of his blessings because I understand what his fullness of his blessings mean. I understand
yeah.
what's required of me. That's why it's so easy for me to respond to Lady C the way I do. I believe that I'm operating in the miracle realm because I understand that every day there's 100 million miracles happening, and I want to get as many as I can. They're like the little things on the computer. I'll be trying to get every miracle that's available.
Listen, me
so
too.
Lady C,
me
yeah,
too. I'm,
it is there. It is there.
I'm right
I'm
there.
I'm telling you it's there.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And Lacey, we're going to give you a chance to respond to that. And it's like, I remember when I was in high school. And, I mean, all the boys, we liked the, you know, what we looked at. I mean, at that time, you're looking at a woman, the exterior. And if she's pretty, you know, you're looking at the exterior. That's, you know, we didn't know any better. You know, we didn't really realize, all of us, at least I didn't. I can't speak for other guys. But I didn't know it was so much about the character. But I just thought it was about the beauty in high school. And it's like, I was so shy. I just felt,
gee whiz, all these pretty girls, I'm scared to say something to them. And then one of my friends who was also a very pretty girl, she said, you know, and I used to talk to her, I say, I want to be able to talk to that girl over there. I want to talk to that one. I want to talk to that one. And she said, well, why don't you? I said, because they done heard all the lines from the boys. They done heard every line. And then she said, why don't you try one of those girls? Why don't you try them? She said, and see, the problem is a lot of times a lot of the guys are thinking the way you're thinking, that all the other guys have used all the lines on them, and sometimes nobody has used any other line. Because they're thinking like I'm thinking, they're scared to approach the girl. And so when this girl told me that, oh, it was on then. Lady C, you hear me? It was on. Every chance I got, I was talking to the pretty girls like, hey, you know what? You must be an angel. Heaven must be missing an angel because you're right here with me right now. And it's like, whoa, they was like, where did that come from? And I started finding all the lines. So, Benny, you feel me?
100%. 100%.
And then it's like, whoa, all of a sudden now I done arrived somewhere and the confidence built. And it's the same, and you know, God forgive me if I'm using this in a bad analogy. I don't mean to. But it's like nobody's asking God. Nobody was asking the pretty girls. Well, some people were, but it wasn't, it just didn't last. The guys ran out of lines or something, or they just weren't, the character just wasn't keeping the girls. But then it's like I'm asking God, and he's delivering. And what I want is people to be blessed out here. Lady C, go ahead and respond, because I know we're running out of time, to what Sir Benny has said.
I would say, you know what, Sir Benny, I love you, and I'm so glad that, you know, whatever God lay in your heart, you will give it. I'm the same way. If God lays some on my heart, he would give it. And when it comes to that house, yes. I know everything comes in God's timing, and I know his time is just not my time right now. But I know the house is going to come to me because why? He already promised it to me, you know. Because realistically, if it was his timing, I would have it right now because I got everything I need to get the house.
Lady, yes? Let me share something with you, sweetheart. It is not about what we think in terms of timing. It is your desire. God said, I will give you the desire. All you have to do is recognize me and ask in my namesake. I don't know what your situation is, how you've been doing, what you've been doing, but I believe that if you ask in his namesake, it shall be delivered unto you. He wouldn't have said it if it wasn't true. He didn't put a time limit or a time frame on it when it was true. When you say, Lord, help me, he comes immediately to your help. So don't always make things about his timing and all that kind of nonsense. Just ask. You got to ask boldly. Dear Lord, I need a house. I got these kids here. I got some stuff I need to do. Lord, I need a house. Whoever, however you want to do it, you want to send it, I am waiting. You got to be that bold when you speak to God. That's your father. When you ask your father for something, he's coming to give it to you.
God is that bold. But again, you said not to speak on God's timing, but you have to. God's timing is not our timing. If I just said, God, give it to me right now, and God said, no, it's not. You got to wait for it, you know?
But the thing is, I can easily say
I want it right now. Me and God and I had talked. But the problem is, if it's not the will of God to give me the house that I want right now, I'm not going to give it to him no matter how many times if I say it right now, right now, right now. And I can get a house now, but is it the right house God gave for me? May not be the right house.
Then you need to have a conversation with God to see what's happening to keep him from blocking, not blessing you in abundance. There's a reason that he's not blessing you the way he should be. Because if you're walking in the way you're supposed to be walking, there is nothing God won't give for his children. He said he loves us. He will give us the moon, the stars, the skies, everything. All we have to do is ask in his namesake.
Now I have a question on that. Because you have some people out here walking, because I hear you say if you're walking in the way that God wants you to walk, well, what happens when you have this person that don't believe in God out here getting what they want?
Okay. See, the devil can bless you too. See, God, I'm going to say this to everybody. Listen, people, please. Everybody who wakes up in the morning, God has blessed them. Yes or no?
Amen. Absolutely.
Yes.
I don't care what you did. I don't care what your sins are. I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't care if you're a murderer, thief, crook, whatever. If God wakes you up in the morning, he blessed you, yes?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Yes, Pastor.
Okay, absolutely. So if God is that good to the what we consider to be the scum of the earth, why do you think he would be good to you and you're a believer and you're walking in the way? He will be even especially better to you.
Mm-hmm.
But God said, I am a justified. He justified. God gives things to people who see, we get things all mixed up. God will give things to another joke over here who ain't no good to come over to my house and bless me with a whole bunch of stuff. Thank you, Lord, for using that joker. You know why? Because God can use anybody to get whatever he needs to get to whom he needs to be. Listen.
He sure can.
When the Israelites were in, when Moses went to go talk to Pharaoh, God had a heart in Pharaoh's heart. He had to. How do you think that happened? God will use any and everybody he can to bless us, to bless us. And it said when they left, not only did they leave, there were some people who were Egyptians that left with the Israelites. They left too. They took all the gold, they took everything. They say, just take it. Pharaoh said, take everything. Take gold, rubies, that, take it all and get up out of here because y'all don't have a big mess happen to us. We got people dying and stuff happening. Y'all just go. So that's what I'm trying to
say. Okay.
God will use anybody.
Right. We're running out of time, but I want to – the Spirit has impressed upon me, you all, and I want to ask Lady C and Sir Benny, I want you and I, if you would you agree to touch and agree with me that God will reveal to Lady C what she needs to do in order for him to fulfill her desire? Would you touch and agree with me on that, Sir Benny?
Brother, my spirit already spoke to your spirit, and they already told me what to do with that. I've already touched and agreed before you even asked. That's what it is.
Amen. That's what we're talking about. Lady C,
yes.
Will
yes.
you allow us, Lady C, to touch and agree with you that God will reveal to you what he needs you to do? Because ain't nothing too hard for him.
You know, but the thing, it's not that. God already told me what I need to do.
Okay. All right.
That's
Did we
what
know
I'm
what
saying.
To do? All right. All right.
That's
we'll move
why
on.
He told me I have to be patient.
Okay. All right. We'll move on. Sir Ben, is you anything you wanted to say on that? Because I know when to leave something alone, and I need to know when to keep moving on. All right. Let's go on. We're almost, before Lacey closes out, we got a couple more things here we want to go and take a look at. All right. Here we go. This mail, I will be careful. Okay, what the question comes in, what if the person is praying for you is not living right themselves? Should that matter when it comes to praying or laying hands on you? I think we covered some of that earlier because you can rebuke something if it's coming across to you negatively. And don't worry about, God can use anyone. And we've said that tonight. Another scenario, female, she says, I have personally seen a preacher pray and lay hands for a couple who had difficulty getting pregnant. After praying and laying hands, the woman was pregnant within 3 months. These things happen, you all. These things happen. You know, then here's another scenario. Do you really need someone to pray or lay hands on you, or can you do it for yourself? I do believe some things require we praying for each other. I do believe that. If you all join us next Saturday, I'm going to tell you my own personal miracle that just happened in the last 2 weeks. Okay, and then another scenario came in, female. What about when you go to a professional? This is very important, you all. So physical therapy or massage therapy. They are sort of praying and laying hands on you. Could that be a similar situation? Jeanette, let me bring you in. What do you think about that? People, when you go get a massage or you go get physical therapy, people are putting their hands on you. What about that?
No, that's not a spiritual experience.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I don't.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let me just go quickly to the phone lines real quickly because we're running out of time. Let's go to 772-834. Welcome, and who do we have with us? All right. Perhaps that caller. All right. Perhaps they were just listening. All right. Let me go here then. This final one. I want all of us to think about this one here before Lady C closes us out. This male, he writes in reference to should you allow just anyone to pray or lay hands on you. I'm thinking that when you go to your doctor and he or she tells you bad news, could it be that your spirit accepts this, that confirms it because they examined or prayed and laid hands on you? Even your medical doctor says you got, you know,
XYZ, you know, bad news. Do you accept that? I want y'all to think about that. I want you to think deeply about that and ask God to reveal that to you. When you accept the bad news, I've never accepted any bad news from a doctor. Never allowed that into my spirit. And had major surgery, life-threatening surgery, 6 years ago. And I trusted God. Trusted God. Don't let that into your spirit even when they touch you. Lady C closes out. We're out of time.
When it comes to just spirits in general and people touching you, just pray before they touch you and allow God to, you know, discern your spirit to know if that person is good to be praying over you or not. If they're not, just back away. You know, every pulpit you don't have to run to. You know, you don't have to allow everybody to touch you. You know, but if it is of God, just allow that person to pray.
Okay, and on that note, we are clearly out of time. I thank all of you all for taking time out of your busy schedules to join us here tonight. I really have learned a lot from it, and I certainly trust and hope that you've gotten something from it too. Listen, join us back here next Thursday for the Dr. Just Walk Show. We've got a show that you will not want to miss. I promise you, you don't want to miss next Thursday's show. And, of course, if you choose to bypass next Thursday, join us back here next Friday for a show you thought this one was thought-provoking. You don't want to miss next week's show. I promise you don't want to miss next Friday's show. And then, of course, you do miss it. Join us next Saturday morning when you're going to hear about miracles. You're going to hear about them. You don't want to miss that. Sometimes it means we got to wake up early just to hear a testimony or a praise report and know that God has done this for somebody else. He can do it for me. So join us either next Thursday, next Friday, or next Saturday morning. Until then, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night. God bless. And thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night,
Dr. Jesse. Good night, Pastor Benny.
I enjoyed it. Great show. God bless you all. Love you all. Sister Marjorie.
Night, Sister Marjorie.
Okay, my dear. Good night. Have a great night.
God bless you.